You've done your country proud.
Never really see Lara struggle. And it's about 6 yards over the fence for Lara.
Well, I don't think he's only bowling short. I think he's bowling rubbish. He's bowling like my Auntie Annie when she'd had too much sherry to drink.
How about that? Absolutely brilliant from Shane Warne.
Brilliant Yorker. Absolutely brilliant. Malinga with six.
Yet another 50 by Sachin Tendulkar. He'll raise his bat.
There it is. 500 for Peterson, a 500 for England.
Short. Oh, it could be the best. It's long for Chris Gayle. Oh, my days. 40 of 9 deliveries.
Brilliant from Broad. 8 for 15. Best bowling figures on this ground.
That'll get there. Joe Root has gone to 100 here at Trent Bridge.
You are listening to Sticky Wicket on URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to the 6th edition of the Sticky Wicket podcast, where we discuss everything cricket. I'm joined by Harry, Joe, Jack and Laura today. So first up, we're going to discuss the North-South games, which are coming up in March. These were introduced by the ECB to improve England's one-day cricket, so... first of all, let's go to Harry. Who do you think are going to be the main players in this game?
Well, you've caught me off guard there a bit, as I haven't done my research on this game. But I can pick out one name already, and that's Liam Livingstone, who's been on fire for the Lions. I think he's broken a couple of records as well. Got 200s in one match, and only Kevin Peterson has ever done that for the Lions, so he'll definitely be one to watch. Elsewhere, you've got Tim Bresnan for Yorkshire. He's always a big name, isn't he?
Yep.
Mark Wood making his comeback as well for Durham, which is always good to see, because he could be quite influential for England in 2017, especially with the Ashes coming up. And then another one in the South squad, Mason Crane as well, young leg spinner, could be quite good as well. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think all eyes on Mark Wood to see how his like ankle holds up, because I think he's a massive player for England in the summer, so hopefully he can get back fit and bowl in 90 miles an hour, because I think that's something that England lack. Also, another lad who's playing, he's not going to be featuring for England in the next year or two, but he may well be playing for in the future beyond that, is a lad called Joe Clark, who plays for Worcestershire. And if you ever see him bat, he's just, you talk about it, he's just got it. He plays the ball for the offside on the back foot, and yeah, he's a class player. So I think he's one to watch as well.
What do you think about this as an opportunity for some old faces to try and get back into the one-day team and test team, such as James Vince? Anyone got any thoughts on that?
I'm not sure about James Vince. I think there are other players that England have their eye on. I mean, there's Ben Duckett, who he's kind of been in and around, and in the warm-up game against Worcestershire today, hit 180-odd, I think. So the North groups had 400, I think, in their first inning. So, you know, I think James Vince, he probably does have a future with England, but I think they're focusing more on, they've got Ben Duckett, Keaton Jennings, and of course you've still got the players who were around the West Indies group, like Sam Billings, who is kind of there and thereabouts. So I think at the moment maybe he needs to go back to Hampshire, get some runs under his belt, and I don't think he'll be featuring in the squad for the county for the Champions Trophy or anything like that, but definitely has a future with England, I think.
Another interesting battle that takes place is between Steve Finn and Mark Wood for sort of the third seamer spot in the English team. What are your guys' thoughts on that, and who do you think would suit being the England third seamer?
I don't know. I think, you know, Stephen Finn has been in and out of the squad for the last couple of years now. He's done a brilliant job last season for Middlesex. Of course, Middlesex winning the county championship here in England. But,
you know, it's tough. I think Steve Finn is probably definitely someone who England will look at as someone who's got a proven international record behind him. Mark Wood has played a couple of times, I believe. But Stephen Finn, you know, he's a good old stalwart, and you look at Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson, and Stephen Finn is that obvious person to, you know, be that someone who can complement what they offer as well in terms of the broader aspect of England cricket in general.
I think with the thing Mark Wood has in his favour is, whereas obviously because Stephen Finn's been plagued by injury quite a lot, he's kind of lost that pace that he had when he was a lot younger, and Mark Wood has that extra pace and accuracy. And I know that when he was playing before he got injured, he was a very valuable member of the squad, but I don't think it's necessarily like one or the other. I see both of them featuring in the squad, and it'll just be a case of who fits the conditions more as to which one they bring in.
Yeah, I completely agree there. So now moving quickly on to the recent Afghanistan and Ireland series. Afghanistan won today. So, and there's been a lot of talk about Afghanistan and Ireland being introduced into Test cricket with meetings occurring in April. Do you think these teams are good enough to play Test cricket? And if not, what do you think they need to do to become of that standard?
Yeah, I think Afghanistan are definitely probably good enough now. I think they're a potential banana skin if England are ever to top Afghanistan. But Ireland, I think, have still got a little way to go. But I think if there's two teams out of the Associated Nations who would become Test Nations, I think it would be Ireland and Afghanistan. And I think it'd be great to have a couple more Test Nations to play against, because that's not that many, really, is it?
I think they could definitely give the West Indies a run for their money, who are probably the worst Test team at the moment, maybe with down there with Zimbabwe. So it would be interesting if they played a few matches against the worst Test teams to see how they compared before they got their Test status, almost.
Yeah.
See if they're ready for that.
Yeah, I personally would love to see them both be granted Test status. I think the thing is, it's one of those, they need to be granted the Test status before they can start to improve, because, you know, at the moment, for Ireland in particular, there's no the incentive to, like if you look at their past players that have gone to move to play for England, you can completely understand why, because there's just more incentive within English cricket, and I don't think that there will be that incentive until Ireland are granted Test status, until they can be playing more frequently against some of the biggest sides in the world. I mean, obviously, all these Associate Nations have, the ICC have been working more to get them more and more involved in cricket. Like, we've got Ireland touring here in May, but I think I would love to see both of them be granted Test status.
Do you not think there's going to be a problem with perhaps diluting the quality of Test cricket by introducing all these nations and as sort of weakened teams who would just get hammered potentially?
Perhaps at the start. I think definitely towards the start when these teams are introduced. Obviously, you know, it's going to be a new fit. It's going to be a new experience for both teams, having not played the long format of the game in terms of internationals. But I think
that as time goes on, like Laura said, you know, the Irish player, there's going to be a better incentive for young Irish cricketers to, you know, want to perform well, want to break into that Test side. And the same can be said for Afghanistan. They're going to have a look at that Test team and see, you know what, actually, I really want to get involved with this, because we're going up against some of the best teams in the world. And, you know, Joe, you touched on it earlier as well. If they are one, these teams could be the teams that cause upsets against bigger teams, and definitely, you know, they'll go into Test cricket knowing they have no pressure on them whatsoever. They're the teams that everyone's got to be looking out for, just in case they cause an upset. So I think maybe at the start it will be a bit of a downer for the rest of the international side. You know, you might have Australia or someone complaining, saying why do we have to go up against these guys, because they're not on the level that we need to be playing at for us to improve ourselves. But I think after a few years, it will definitely be, you know, Afghanistan and Ireland will be looking to bring in some of their youth players and really try and develop as cricketing nations.
I think you have to look at Bangladesh as well. I think they came in around the mid-90s, and they've only just started to get any sort of form or results in Test cricket. It's taken about 20 years, so we need to do it as soon as possible, and maybe 10, 15 years down the line, that's when we'll be talking more about these teams really challenging, especially at home like Bangladesh have done. And that's where you've got to start, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree there. So now on to a new topic. Kevin Peterson has recently revealed that he'll be playing the T20 Blast for his home county. What do you think this means for the competition and for KP himself? Do you think there's a chance he could potentially get back into the T20 side? I know it's a long stretch, but what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Not at all. Sorry, just to like throw it. I think the thing was, when everybody was, even when everybody, like a year or so ago, was, you know, people like to throw the hashtag bring back KP.
Piers Morgan, namely.
Yeah, don't even get me started on him. But I think the thing is, even at that stage, he was kind of... He'd been out of the game for quite a while, and he's getting on in age. I mean, he's not... he can still compete in these like franchises, but I just don't think... We need to start looking towards the future, and there are a lot of good batsmen coming up that are just as good as KP. And I know that he is one of those people, you know, on his day, he is phenomenal, can take a game away from you, but equally, he does go through sort of peaks and troughs. I think, you know, we've just... That part of our... of the England life has come and gone, and I think, you know, it's time to...
Sadly come to an end.
Yeah, it's, you know, back in his day, he was brilliant to watch, but I think we need to kind of get over it now. It's like, we have to move on.
I don't think he's actually that good anymore. No. He has one good innings every 10, and because the media love him still somehow, everyone gets mad, or KP's back, but he's not back. He's still the same old, like, arrogant player who just wouldn't fit in with this England team now, because he probably still thinks he's better than everyone there, and he wouldn't be good for the team spirit going forward, I don't think.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think that the arrival of KP is very important for the T20 Blast to sort of become a competition that can rival the Big Bash and the IPL?
Yeah, I think with he plays for Surrey, doesn't he? And yep. I think Surrey are getting, like, last season were getting sold out crowds, and a lot's been made about the English T20 competition needs to sort of evolve and become like the Big Bash and like the IPL. But I think it shows that sort of English T20 cricket is sort of alive and kicking. And it's great that I think Peterson's chosen the T20 Blast over going to play in the West Indies T20 Franchise League. Yeah. So it shows that there is quality and that is attractive for the big names.
Definitely. So moving on, do you think that T20 cricket in England, especially the evolution of the T20 Blast, will hamper the test chances of the England team?
I don't think so. I think in previously we've put too much emphasis on just test cricket and not really the shorter formats of the game, but now under Andrew Strauss that has changed quite a lot, but I still feel like they're two separate entities. And I, you know, you just look at some of the scores that players get in the county championship. I mean, Sam Hain was a young one for Warwickshire who's in the he's in the North South, but I think players have become a lot better at adapting to both. And just because you can hit out in the 50 over, it kind of almost brings that into test cricket. I think that's almost needed, the way that test cricket's going. It's not getting the same crowds that 50 overs and 2020s do. But if you have those kind of star batsmen in test cricket, like, you know, for India, like Kohli, somebody like that, who can play well in all three formats, then, you know, it's only a good thing for test cricket. I don't think it detracts.
Yeah, I think the only problem is with these franchise leagues, you've seen that AB de Villiers is now suddenly unavailable for whatever reason. He's just, like, ruled himself out of New Zealand tour and England tour. So they need to try and find a way, especially the sort of, I think the ECB are fine in the fact that they're quite wealthy, and so are the Australians and so are the Indians, but the sort of lesser balls like South Africa and New Zealand, they need to try and find a way to keep their best players playing test cricket, whereas they're just going to go out and play 2020 leagues like you've seen the West Indies.
Yeah, I've got to completely agree. You know, I think the amount of money that's being thrown around is definitely a contributing factor to the increase in popularity of T20 and short format of the game. You know, with the amount of, we've seen it in the IPL, we've seen it in the BBL as well, there so much money is getting is being given to these international superstars in cricket. And, you know, I don't want the short format of the game in England to suffer from that. We have a lot of money, but although we keep saying that we want to have a push for more development in the short format of the game, and, you know, maybe adapt something similar to the IPL and BBL, I don't want there to be a sudden urge of money rushed in. And, you know, because then that may even hamper the development of the short format of the game. So although it's good signing, you know, bringing back to the Kevin Peterson, I don't think he's at his best. He probably won't ever be back to his best again. But, you know, he is in England. He's recognised as a power hitter, someone who can come in, get a quick half century, and then maybe he gets out from a cheap delivery that he should have perhaps just defended. But, you know, that's what Kevin Peterson does. And I think increasing the amount of English grown players who can do that in the short format of the game is going to be
beneficial, not just for now, but in the long term as well.
Yeah, so going back to Joe's point, do you think the ICC need to incentivise Test cricket more for smaller nations?
I think they are, to be honest. You know, with the whole idea of making sort of tournament element of it, so it's almost like there's more to play for. You're not playing a two... I think previously they've done things where you play like a two test match series, and it's like, well, what's the point? Because if you've lost the first one, then the best you can hope for is a draw, whereas if you're including... maybe like a point system into that, and you can come like first, second, third, you can get relegated, that kind of thing. It does incentivize it a lot more. And I think it's definitely important for perhaps the nations with less money. I don't see Test cricket ever dying out in, like, say, England or Australia, because of stuff like the Ashes is just so the young players watch that, and that is what they aspire to do. They aspire to play in Test cricket, whereas for West Indies, perhaps that's the same incentive is not there. It's they see their team performing well at 2020 tournaments and the 50 over tournaments, not Test cricket. Well, less so the 50 over tournaments at the moment.
Yeah, there's definitely been loads of talks by the ICC in recent months about introducing some sort of tiered system with divisions, regular matches, maybe some sort of test championship format, but I definitely don't think Test cricket will die out within the next decade. But long term, it's not looking brilliant for Test cricket, even though it pains me to say that.
Do you think then that perhaps setting up like they do with rugby, like the Six Nations, do you think that would be beneficial to have for, you know, so say we have maybe five teams in the top league and then another five teams in the bottom league, and it's one team each season, the bottom team gets relegated and the next team comes up. Do you think that would be beneficial for cricket?
Yeah, I think it could really add some good competition. You could see a format as well where you play 3 or 4 months of, well, no, maybe not that much, but 2 months of Test cricket, like the Six Nations, 8-week period, each team plays each other once or twice, and you get loads of games. It's all in one country, almost like a mini Test World Cup, and that would really get the interest up. And then you leave Test cricket, so people want more of it because it's not played every other week, so you play a few months, because the Six Nations is so popular every year because people want more of it, because there's only 5 games each year, so it keeps going. I reckon maybe something like that, on the lines of that, would work.
Definitely some very interesting ideas here today. So last we're going to move on to Nottinghamshire County Cricket Club, recently relegated, but talk of them signing James Pattinson. What's the future for Nottingham County Cricket Club, and can James Pattinson lead them to sort of get promotion this year?
I personally think that they should be in the relegation position, the promotion position this year, because last year, whilst they got relegated and they did not play very well, if you look at their team on paper, they shouldn't. There is no way that they should have been relegated. Yeah, they're too good a side to have been relegated. But they just, with the bat in particular, they just did not perform. You look at that, how they were doing in the 50 over competition and the 2020 competition. The 50 over, I mean, Ricky Vessels and Michael Lum had numerous 200 partnerships throughout that, but they just somehow didn't seem to be able to translate that in the county championship. I mean, obviously there was like the loss of James Taylor, which was awful, and that you know, probably knocked them quite considerably at the start of the season, but they have the experience there. I think if they were perhaps a younger side, you maybe would have understood that, but you've got Lom, who's been playing for a long time, Vessels, who's been playing for a long time, Reed, you've got a lot
Patel
of...
Patel as well.
Yeah, Patel, you've got a lot of very experienced players there, and you do also have the youth coming through. You've got a lot of players, Peter Moore's son was on the books at the end of the season, and they do have a very strong academy presence, so... I don't see why they shouldn't be promoted this season, but I'm sure they can prove me wrong if they
I think Notts will put goal this year, because in the county championship, I think as a Lancashire fan, I've seen the difference between Division 1 and Division 2. There is a big difference. I mean, Lancashire have been a bit of a yo-yo club over the last couple of years, and I think it'll be a struggle this season as well. So I think Notts will go up 11-0, but they need to sort of solidify when they do go up. I think next season, obviously, they could do a Lancashire and find themselves back next season.
Has the county championship changed this year to one promotion, one relegation?
I think so.
That might make a big difference as well, because if you have a couple of bad games against the other big team, then you might be out of contention. So the Division 1's gone to 8 teams, I think, hasn't it? So it could be a very different year for county cricket, I think.
What's so good about it is that it you could be top 1 year and you could be relegated the next year. There is like that such a difference between it. But if just from Notts' perspective of being promoted, if you look at them the previous years to last year's campaign, they were in the top half of the division, and obviously, you know, Yorkshire were pretty dominant so those few years, so they weren't going to win, but they were in contention for sort of second, third, around that area. So
if you look at the other teams in the division, Nottinghamshire are probably by far the biggest county. You could only really see the other contenders being Gloucestershire, maybe Worcestershire on a good day if they have a good season, Sussex, and you can really rule Durham out because they've already got a minus 48 point deduction, I think, was going for into administration. And well, yeah, you'd back Nottinghamshire to be favourites there.
So keep going with the theme of county cricket, do you think more needs to be done to sort of promote county cricket, so more TV coverage, so that we foster the interest? Because it seems like in recent years it's sort of become just a breeding ground to get into the England team rather than sort of a domestic competition which people actually want to see.
Yeah, I think it's tough. There's not a lot, I don't know what you can do, but I think with, like, say the 50 over competition, that instead of having like a group stage, they've tried to change this year to make it in one big block, but instead of having like a group stage, you could literally just do knockout format. I think that would generate a bit more interest. So I'd much rather go and watch a game if it was a knockout rather than a random group game between two county teams. But I'm not sure what you can do.
They used to do that with the minor counties as in the day. Yeah. And you used to get like Cheshire playing Lancashire, local derby. And I reckon that would be a really good like incentive, upsets and everything, because there are some really poor major county sides out there. So
bring an FA Cup element to the game.
I think the television element's so hard because it's finding someone who will it's hard enough getting them to take 5 days of test cricket, let alone 4 days of county championship. I mean, terrestrial TV is just completely out of the question because, well, the BBC don't really seem that interested in sport, because you know, if they weren't even questioning keeping in Wimbledon. But like, I think Sky do really well. Like, even just the last game of the season is quite nice. It gets people into it, but I think, I don't know, it's a hard one. How do you get more people into the county championship? I know they've moved the days so that, you know, people can go on a Sunday and watch it, but
I think you could potentially have some sort of highlights show like they do with the Football League. Try and get people interested. They have an hour roundup a week, maybe some sort of podcast like this, something like that, just to try and keep people interested and keep people up to date with what's going on.
Yeah, but just to back it up on Harry's point there, I think it's not that I like the NFL, but the NFL this season, they got a show on the BBC, I think, a highlight show, and apparently the viewing figures for the NFL in England have gone up massively from that, because it wasn't particularly popular beforehand, so maybe that's something they could look at.
Also, like, you know, the prominence of cricket on other channels, like Dave, I think they have the Caribbean Premier League. I know it sounds stupid, but if it was on something like that, or like ITV2, ITV3, I think you would get more people watching it, because there are people who would perhaps be interested in watching the county championship, but they can't afford something like Sky or BT to watch like the last game of the season.
Yeah, definitely. I think a point of that was the IPL. That really exploded on Channel 4, didn't it? And that's where it became sort of the global powerhouse in England that it is today. So definitely.